This week on RSBNB Update, the combat update is here, giving ranged magic and melee the necromancy treatment. We look at how they work at various bosses and what the changes mean at the high end and for average players. We also sit down and look at how each style has improved. This is RSBNB Update, episode 976, recorded Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Enhancements of combat. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, we are here to discuss the March combat update, amongst other things in RuneScape. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Shane.
Good to have you. Good to have you, as always. Having fun this week?
You know, I'm having fun with some of the buffs.
Yeah, that kind of just kind of snuck in under the radar, didn't it? But also joining us to discuss combat again is Bears. You might remember him from our previous combat-related beta episodes, and of course the release weeks for Zamorak and Vorkath. Welcome back, Bears.
Yep, thanks for having me.
How has your week been here on the beta?
Been pretty fun. It's kind of rejuvenated some of the combat stuff, so it's been a lot of fun.
Good. Glad to hear it. And of course, I'll just tell the listeners you can find full show notes over at update.show. We have a friends chat at Bits Bytes and a community Discord as well as update.show/Discord. And if I also do have to give a big, huge thank you to our experienced tier Patreon members who make RSBNB Update possible. And this week, that's Amos Reed, Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, and The Naked Captain. Of course, you'll be hearing more about our Patreon offerings a little bit later in the podcast. But, you know, let's just dive in, because I feel like we need to have a frank discussion about what this has done for the game in terms of combat. And of course, I think the biggest thing that we talked about when this was first started to happen in November of last year, it seems like it's been a while that they've been really pushing through this on. Of course, some of the biggest things are that the damage cap is now 30,000 across the board with all three styles. They reworked hit chance so that you can't miss anymore, and they also did a bunch of damage squashing so that you don't swing wildly in the ranges when you hit things. And you know, we asked this in the first beta week, but now that it's live, what are you finding bigger, the 30K or the reworked hit chance?
Probably more the 30K hit cap. It still feels new and exciting seeing, you know, the SGV hitting 5, 15 to 20Ks. And it's like, ooh, that's cool. The hit rate's kind of nice from when I've done a little bit of Rago this week. So you still don't have 100%. Well, you have 100% hit chance, but the damage percentage still isn't 100% there. But it's nice to not see the splash marks.
Yeah. And the thing I think, and the way I see this too, is that, you know, for people who had their 100% accuracy and whatnot lined up before the update, you're not going to see any real difference in terms of the way they, you know, calculate that now and whether or not you miss. And of course, accuracy really only was a factor to a few bosses out there. But for people who do know what they're doing, you have that 30K hit cap. And now you can really, you know, kind of just lean into those sorts of things like you can with necromancy. Tanis, and, you know, I don't necessarily know what your Slayer setup looks like right now, but I assume you don't have accuracy troubles when you're doing Slayer.
No, not really. There are some of the older mini Slayer bosses had pretty high defense, but Yeah, no, not really.
You're kind of in the same position with the PVMers then, where, you know, you have your setup and upwards of 90 plus, you're not going to be questioning that. So we'll definitely remember to look at that for when you get to the low to mid level of combat, and we'll just remember how nice that felt with necromancy in terms of looking at that. And I guess another thing that really kind of, you know, stood out to me when I was reading the first batch of patch notes here is that they talked about and they put this slide out, right? They put this slide out last Friday. Reworked melee core style. And it's like, what in here is a core rework of the melee combat style? I don't see that. Do you, Bears?
It looks like they just increased a lot of the damage ranges for a lot of the abilities. They changed some of the how quickly the hit splat hits or how slow it hits. I wouldn't call it a complete rework or change of the
course. And I'm wondering,
system.
You know, if the language on that kind of leans into the way they wanted to go with that and from the very beginning. Because you remember when this beta started, there was a talk of doing something, you know, really radical of, you know, combining the attack and strengths skills together as an idea. And obviously that didn't happen. That didn't even make it to beta. But there was also the idea of making Malie's auto attack function similar to the necromancy auto attack. That was removed after it was seen to be a damage loss, and that was kind of just left off the side of the road. And the way I see this is that we had some things in the beta when the beta first landed that, you know, could have, you know, really pushed the Malie combat style to be in a different spot with this. But I feel like, and, you know, it's kind of, I guess, is our jumping off point for the discussion here. It kind of feels like Malie got the least out of everybody in this. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think get the most benefit out of the damage cap, though.
Okay, right.
But if you take away that, then yes, I would agree.
Okay, fair enough. What were you going to say, Tanis?
Well, I was asking questions because Lord knows I don't really know what I'm talking about here, but when it comes to melee, was accuracy traditionally more of a problem? Because I don't know. I almost just feel like that's more impactful. The accuracy changes is impactful to melee. But then again, I could just be left field.
Right. And when it comes to PVM, what was it, Bears? It was Yakka, AOD, and Virago were the only ones that really had accuracy problems. And Nex, right?
Yes. Those are the four.
Those were the only ones where previously you could miss, and the accuracy changes really help us here with that now.
Yeah. And melee has like the best debuff because it has Quake, which takes away 2 affinity, and the Stadius Warhammer, which takes away 5. So just those two alone probably gives melee the best accuracy.
Right. And so what that means, just to parse what you said there, is if it takes away a certain amount of affinity, that just means that your character would be able to have a higher innate accuracy value when working with that. And of course, now when you apply those stats after the fact, if you are still below that 100% accuracy, that's just going to translate into more damage. But if you're above 100% accuracy, you're not going to see the benefit of that. So,
yep.
And that's why, you know, when you're putting together a raid team, you always make sure that the melee person brings the hammer so you can have the hammer effect and everybody can get the benefit from it there at Yakka. So,
you know what this is?
What is it?
It's the zombie virus. Yep. We have been.
What do you mean?
With the zombie virus? Necromancy. It was the vessel to get this in the beta, to get it into game. And like that's really interesting to me to find out about like melee, because I would have thought it, because it feels different, but
right. And see, that's the thing. A lot of people aren't aware of it. They're not aware that it's only that handful of bosses on top that really had accuracy issues to begin with, in the PVM sense.
Yeah. And honestly, this one, it almost goes back to when Zamorak got released, because they introduced those demons that based, like, that's how it was you dealt more damage, the better accuracy you had. And that they said at the time, like, hey, this is a test run. We'll see if we like this, and it might go into the game, like, everywhere. And that was two years ago now.
Right. Where are those demons in the fight? Remind me.
They're not in the actual Zamorak fight, but they're in the dungeon.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Right. You know, that's actually really interesting now that you mention it, about that, in that you do see a lot of those unique mechanics like that cropping up in the Elite Dungeons. So.
Yeah.
And this gets to a more philosophical thing, I guess, because when you look at where this thing originated from, like you said, Tanis, the zombie virus, you wind up in a situation where after necromancy, you had necromancy doing huge, huge amounts of damage, and it felt like the other combat styles couldn't keep up. And, you know, of course, people had their Fasoas and Bows of the Last Guardians and Zuck Swords and what have you, and all the other five switches for melee. They're like, what did I just do? You know, spend 3 years getting this four if you're going to obsolete this. And I'm wondering, and this is the thing I think we need to really have in mind as we go through this week, is do these changes here fix that problem? And I guess we can, you know, just start walking into one of these bosses here for this Bears. And let's start with the Archglacier, because I feel like that's going to be the simpler one to discuss, and we can focus slowly on ranged for this. And people will remember that when we gathered last time for the beta, we looked at one of Bear's glacier kills here, 1000% in rage on that. And how did it feel here compared to last time you ran it?
So yeah, it felt better. It felt like I was doing more consistent damage, and that's mostly from like them changing the percentages of abilities. If you look at the kill time, it's within 10 seconds, which I attribute that to. I got two sets of minions in the kill I recorded, and for this one now, opposed to only one set during the beta. So it's relatively the same. It feels more fun, feels better. So yeah, I enjoy it.
And the specs aren't as insane as they were in the first beta run for the SGB and Bow of the Last Guardian, obviously, because I remember our discussion on that.
Yeah, correct. So yes, those got nerfed compared to the last beta a little bit, but they're still really
better than on live,
still,
right? Or than they were last week, I guess we could say.
Yes, and that comes down to the crit chance.
Okay, so for people who are unaware, explain how the crit chance factors into that then.
Yeah, so right now you get 10% crit chance at level 1, any combat style. And then it slowly increases all the way up to 50% at level 90. So you have a 50-50 chance of critting. And so
quite big when you think of it, you know, when you fire how many shots you're firing, 1 and 2 will be a crit.
Wait, I think I read that wrong. Because
we can
say how much the crit chance goes up.
It should be in the skill. It should be in the skill book.
Yes.
In the range skill book, just like it said. And I think the thing that we are discussing with this when it lines up is it's that same sort of thing with necromancy where you're rewarded for leveling up, and it feels like there's more of a progression than just straight damage as you go up through your stats, right? So, and you were actually you were right on that. It's a base critical strike chance of 10%, and it's the critical damage that starts at 10% that goes up to 50% at level 9. So it's not crits. it's not going to be a 50-50 crit chance.
Yeah.
But previously, and this is the part where things get really interesting in my view, is that when you look at how things were before, magic was the ones that you would build around, you know, setting up a crit chance build and whatnot, whereas that's a viable thing to do now for any of the combat styles, because you can really reap the benefit of it. Magic will still, of course, reap the benefit of the crits, but you can still see benefit from doing that with ranged.
Yeah, as you can see in the kill, I mean, I used Incend all the time during Zamorak, and I used it, I think, once or twice during my Archglacor kill, and it's just because you get that extra adrenaline from critting now, and that's so important, so nice. And yeah, like nerfed Meteor Strike, Incend, and Tsunami, but with getting more crits, it actually feels better. So like I remember before the change, I would do Incend, do a Greater Ricochet, and sometimes it would give me up to 100% adrenaline right away. Other times it would keep me at basically 30% and didn't do anything because none of them crit. But now it feels like every single time I'm getting that 60%-ish.
So it's more consistent.
So it just makes the rotation.
Then.
Yeah, it makes the rotation so much simpler, so much easier to follow and understand what's going on.
And that's interesting you mentioned, and I want to seize on that right now. You mentioned that it makes the rotation easier and simpler to follow, because that's specifically what Necromancy did. And, you know, is Necromancy's claim to fame is that it's got the simple rotation and low amount of inputs, whether you like that or not. And the thing that I kind of wanted to ask about that, and, you know, folks could see it in the video version of it as well, but how simple is your ranged rotation with this tier 95 Boa Last Guardian?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty consistent. It's not as simple as Necromancy.
It's not a living death rotation.
Correct. But, I mean, in general, you're wanting, with Boa the Last Guardian and Elite Dracolich, you want to use Rapid Fire as often as you can. And you want to also time it as much as you can with the SGB. And you just want that crit rate chance from
so you use
the
rapid fire to build the crit rate, and then you capitalize on it with the SGB. Got it.
Yep. And then also G Rico is also good with the crits. So yeah, it's really just balancing G Rico and rapid fire and SGB as much as
where
you can.
Where does the Boa Last Guardian spec come in?
Just when you have extra adrenaline.
Okay.
Or when it gets to like the max point where it's going to double.
And you know, you mentioned crit and whatnot. How do you feel about snipe? Because that was another big thing that changed with this is the channel bar, right? In terms of channeling. Obviously, we talked about rapid fire, but snipe's another big one. Everybody would always cancel it, you know, the tick before it was due to end. Are you still canceling?
I don't. No, I don't use snipe very often. I know with rapid fire, you end it right when you get the buff, which is the one tick early still. So I think so, but again, I can't say with
So you don't use snipe. You don't use snipe heavily with that, because you know I'm wondering with that when you factor in snipe, you get bigger amounts of damage coming out of it. If that, you know, would just make sense to hold it that extra tick or let it go early like you typically would. But okay. And I think the thing that we're seeing with this is that yes, this is, you know, obviously a tier 90 setup with rapid fire. And it's not the you get, of course, boosted stats if you go with Elite Dracolich, but you could do this even with regular Dracolich and a bow if you wanted to. So you could just do it with the SGB if you really, you know, if you really wanted to in that regard. On
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a really interesting way of looking at this. So Archglacier, and you said it was about 10 seconds-ish, I think, was the number you said. You got an extra set of minions, but it's about 10 seconds slower than it was on beta.
Yeah, so, which in my mind is within the reason of
that's within
RNG.
Within And I feel like then the changes that we saw in the last beta, because we didn't really discuss those on the show, that brought Boa the Last Guardian way down and SGB way down and then brought it up a little bit more. I feel like that was just kind of tweaking it to you know, kind of smooth out some of the extremes, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, like, yeah, during the beta, it was a little overtuned. And, like, I mean, they show that, but how much they changed it. They changed it, yes, not too much, though.
Right, okay. Where else did you take ranged, aside from our friend the Archglacier?
So, Zamorak. So, kind of, I'd probably say about 20 trio kills there at 500%, and then I've done about 10 solos at 500% there. So, in the trios, we were basically skipping every mechanic, which before we were probably getting two a fight, and now we're at most only getting one.
Damn.
And
this was this isn't on beta. This is comparing to where things would have been like last week.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so that's a nice step up in terms of power.
Yeah, it was really nice, and a lot of it, I would guess, came from the SGB hitting instead of only hitting 15Ks was hitting 20Ks or, you know, 18Ks. Like, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and a reminder, I guess, to the listeners, Zamorak is not a place that you want to use necromancy. Zamorak has been, since necromancy came out, one of the places that the original three combat styles have been thriving. So that's still obviously going to be the case here going in. So in many ways, it's a perfect petri dish for what you've been experiencing this week.
And then to kind of keep going with that, my one of my teammates, we probably did 15 of those kills when he was using mage, and then he switched to melee, and that's when we were absolutely never getting a mechanic unless we wanted to get one.
Okay, so there's where the melee question comes in then, because I know a lot of people were wondering, you know, what was going to be the thoughts behind that, about where does that land? And I'm assuming it keeps its weird identity of still being the bleed combat style that has the ability to just hit huge, huge numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. It's fun to watch him just hit 30K after 30K. So,
And that's, like you said at the beginning, where, you know, the hit cap definitely has the most impact on something like melee. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And see, I just, my own personal feelings on this is that I really just don't have the patience to, you know, work into melee, because like we had talked about before, you need 4 to 5 switches to do it at the high end meta level. Obviously, you know, you could be successful if you have the Abyssal Scourge and, you know, maybe a swap or two with that. But we're talking, obviously, I assume he was, you know, going all out with all the switches in this case, right?
Yeah, he was. And I wanted to test melee myself, but it's been such a long time, probably a couple of years since I've done it at a high level, that I didn't feel like I could do justice to it.
And I mean, you know, with what we got this week, you know, just keep pumping the numbers of what you got and what, you know, is actually really good and has been successful for it. So,
yeah.
Okay. Does it have any, do you have any feeling that you would like to, you know, lean into that and, you know, dust that style off going forward?
Yeah, I've been debating buying the 295 Langs. That's the only thing I'm missing for best in slot. So it's been, I have the money for him. I just have been kind
of, it's just been a question of if you wanted to do that. Cause you know, you think about it, it's like, I got necromancy, I got ranged, I got magic that, you know, is they're all good around the edges. Do I really want to, you know, go and buy this other style when obviously it's going to hit nice numbers and whatnot, but at the same time, you got to, you know, get up close and in front of their faces, and that's really not viable at some bosses, is it?
Yeah.
What was that, Tennis?
I said, what do you need? Do you need, like, the helmet and the whip and all that stuff?
Yeah, so just prepare to have your mind blown. Bears, what do we got here? What do we got here for the full melee setup? Obviously, so, it's Go ahead.
Vestments, four-piece vestments.
Which is the glass cannon armor.
Yep. Trim masterwork, which doesn't use very often anymore. But then you got possibly a ring switch if you want, a helmet switch, multiple weapon switches, probably 4 or 5 weapon switches. Gloves, maybe, if the boss is poisonable and you want to use cinders. I think that's it.
Yeah. But, I mean, and like the helmet switch is between the eraser crazy. Helmet and the vestment, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
then weapons, you're talking about tier 95 Langs, the tier 92 Whip, the Zuck Sword. That's 3 of them. Which ones am I forgetting? The Spear?
Zarosgard Sword, Spear.
Yeah.
And a Noxious Scythe if you need the range too.
Yeah.
Don't think that's good. Zarosgard Sword's also not always used.
Yeah, I heard that one was kind of phasing out of favor a bit too.
Yeah, so. It definitely is.
Yeah, so now you see, Tanis, why when you can just have, you know, a nice rapid fire setup with the Bow of the Last Guardian, 2 AOFs, and Elite Dracolich, compared to what you need to make Melising at the ultra high end. You see why we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah.
And why, you know, Melee at its most base levels probably best left for Slayer, in my view. Yeah. Unless you, yeah, I mean, you know, really want to lean into that level of sweaty switches.
Yeah, I mean, my preset for Zami with range is 1 switch. That's it. That's just ECB and SGB EOFs.
And I do have melee setup, obviously, for Slayer. But, I mean, I still use the Trim Masterwork and pretty much use the Spear, but I have the Whip and the Helmet.
Right, so then in that case, you're really only missing the Vestments and the Tier 95 Zuck Sword then, and maybe a ring or two. But
yeah,
then you'd be juggling, you know, huge amounts of switches, and I don't necessarily know if you want to make your game about juggling switches.
No. Hell no.
So you see the duality of this here, how you can go from something that's good for Slayer to something that is okay for high-end PVM, but you gotta really lean into the switches to take it to that next level. Because your setup of tier 92 Whip and Masterwork, that would be more than enough to kill everything in God Wars 2 and Elder God Wars at normal difficulty. But if you really wanted to push numbers at somewhere like Zamorak, you would need to go that next extra step if you wanted to use melee. So.
Yep, nope. But it, there is something fun about it, you know?
I mean, if they could make it in such a way that it wasn't so reliant on switches and juggling gear, and you could get those huge numbers, I'd be all over that, because I like glass cannon playstyles, personally. But we haven't talked about magic yet. Where is magic at in all this, Bears? Where did you use magic this week?
Just in my Virago kills, and that's... Honestly, I probably would have been better off using range, but I had my preset from a couple years ago still made, so that's what I was going to use. And it doesn't feel like much changed. They get the crit rate change.
Fasoa, go Fasoa.
Yep, and then the big one actually is Magma Tempest. Got a huge buff, and it feels like it's one of the best abilities again.
And see, that's interesting, because I remember when we were discussing everything that was happening with that, you know, in the intervening months after it came out, is that it was brought down a number of times. And then it's like, oh, wow, okay, here we are in patch notes. Average damage of Magma Tempest now taken from 96% up to 220%.
Yeah, that's, I mean, over double. That's... insane.
Yeah. Greater concentrated blast, just up a smidgen, 160.2 to 168. Greater sonic wave, 115 to 125. Sonic wave, 94.2 to 105. I still feel like sonic wave and greater sonic wave really are, you know, just there for the sake of being there with this, and this might have been an opportunity to bring them up to the same kind of level that concentrated blast and its greater variant were at, maybe. But obviously that might have been inserting too much power into the magic equation for when we have tier 95 staffs. And yes, I'm talking about the fractured staff here. So
yeah, it still hasn't made it onto my action bar, so
yeah, and I mean, fair enough, right? And are you using, I assume you're using wands and then just swapping to fractured staff for the spec and back?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't four tick auto attack, or do you?
I do not. But you do, with how much magma got changed, you do flip to the staff to change or to put that down every now and then.
Right, because you get more base damage from a staff than you do with the two wands, because obviously you're dealing with tier 92 versus tier 95 for the staff, so more damage output for that, which makes sense. Okay. And I, like we were saying with this, it feels as though, you know, magic really didn't get too many changes. They reap the benefits from the crit changes and whatnot. And if you were gonna, rank the styles in terms of their power level, what order would you put them in? Now that we've had a chance to kind of just, you know, look at it and see.
Yeah. Personal preference, obviously, or personal opinion here. I would put ranged and necromancy in the same tier. The only difference is necromancy is simpler rotation and significantly cheaper without all the other things. I mean, it's all stuff you can get yourself pretty easily, right?
Yeah, I can't believe we're saying that ranged is now on par with necromancy damage.
I know. And I mean, you need a lot more actions per minute to be at that point with range. But to me, as someone who enjoys that, that makes range better because I enjoy putting in all the actions and figuring out, okay, my rapid fire is about to end. All right, get the SGB ready and like thinking through that sort of stuff where it doesn't feel that necessary to be thinking that much when you're using necromancy. So,
and I just want to stop you there because you said what everybody has been saying since the very beginning when it came out for necromancy PVM. If you're using necromancy, there have been people who have, you know, and I'm not putting you in this camp, Bears, but there have been people who have said that if you want a PVM with necromancy, you don't have to think. And you basically just said that. Obviously, yeah, other people have said it in a derogatory sense, but I get where you were at with this in terms of rotation of APM.
It is certainly that way. I mean, like, that's why I've come to appreciate Zamorgul and Vorkath a little bit more in the last couple weeks, because it is in my mind, it's only fun if you use necromancy. It's so much harder with all the other styles.
Right.
But it actually, like, because you don't need to focus on the rotation of necromancy, you can actually sit there and, okay, spikes are coming out. Okay.
It allows you to focus on the mechanics of a boss then.
Yes, which is kind of nice.
Right. And I know there's a lot of people who want their bossing to be about mechanics versus, you know, rotation. And I think necromancy accomplishes that well. And if they ever do release a boss that is incredibly mechanic intensive, oh boy, they did with Vorkath to a degree. And, you know, imagine something similar on that. You can kind of see where necromancy lands with that then.
Yeah.
So, I find that very interesting.
Yeah. So to continue on with the rankings, I would put melee and mage relatively a step below, but relatively on the same step. I'd put melee just a little bit above, just because
that is so interesting.
You get.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, and this isn't accounting for mage having crit bloom, which changes the game. I mean, that feels a little unfair because Krypton's right. just
and,
so
you know,
good.
If you, and, you know, if you have Crypt Bloom and you have your Fractured Staff and you just want to go ham with that, that's going to get you through the vast majority of content in game. You don't need to, you know, step down to staves for that. We might pan Sonic Wave and Greater Sonic Wave, but when it comes to it, there's a lot of stuff in game that can indeed be done by just being a Crypt Bloom warrior with the Fractured Staff. And obviously you don't want to bring that to an end game, you know, team based PVM fight, but if you're doing your own thing, you're doing Slayer, have at it, right?
Absolutely. So and I mean, that's a crazy thing. If you would I would say in the last year, or probably a year ago, if you had asked me to rank the three styles at that time,
you
would have ranked
Magic
number
first,
one.
Whereas now Magic's at the bottom.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like they'd... Yes, they nerfed Magic a little bit, but
it's not
like they
bad.
Killed it.
And see, that's the thing I think we need to be aware of, is that we ranked Necromancy and Ranged first, then Melee, but Magic at the bottom. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, though. If anything,
I mean,
like this combat beta update didn't bring Magic down, I don't think, did it? That's not my read of it.
I agree. I mean, there's been times, I mean, 2 or 3 years ago where you wanted to go to Solak, they weren't letting you use Melee there, and like that's how bad Melee was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like Magic, you're not
before
gonna get that with
before
Magic
Zamorak.
Now. Yeah.
And of course Zamorak really, you know, gave it a shot up with investments and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
you're not gonna run into that issue with Magic being the worst of the four styles.
No. And I mean, obviously Necromancy's still, you know, most beginner friendly. That hasn't changed in terms of, you know, inputs that are needed to run it, and just being more forgiving on that. So I am utterly astounded at that, because I don't have a Melee set, and I don't have I do have a Magic set that's perked, but I didn't get to using it this week. I only did Ranged, and I like you, I was very pleased with how it landed. I did some Carapack with it, and you know, it just feels smooth, right? And you know, you're focused more on obviously the rotation, like you said, using Ranged, and I think at the end of the day, I saw pretty much the same thing you did, where my times are kind of the same spot and same threshold of where they were at the beta, maybe a little bit worse. Necromancy's still ahead there, but that's largely because I've been using Necromancy for the last 6, 7 months, and that's kind of what I'm used to at this point. And I'll have a fun story later about how I spent about, you know, 45 minutes just customizing and, you know, rebuilding a ranged action par at this point. So that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Anything else from any of your bossing endeavors out there this week?
Yeah, actually another big change that we haven't talked about yet was the Surge, Dive, and Escape change. That's no longer goes on, what is it? Can always be cast during global cooldown now.
I feel like that's a mixed bag for a lot of people.
Yes, like it's something that took a minute to adjust to, but that's been so nice.
Right.
When, like I said, I've been doing some Morbo where you need to dive a lot to avoid the mechanic. So it's been nice to be able to do that off of cooldown.
Yeah, and see, the interesting thing about that for me is that I always used Surge and Escape with mobile. So I was never in the position to gain adrenaline from those anyways. So I got, you know, a straight buff from this, and that I can use it off global cooldown now, whereas other people are trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what should I use in this place as a basic adrenaline builder for any of these styles without giving up my, you know, freedom or anticipation.
For the most part, mobile was on the best in slot perks for all the styles except Melee. So just because Melee had this barge that you want to get the adrenaline from.
Right.
But now you can put mobile on Melee and not have to worry about it. So that's a big change for Melee.
Who do you think is, you know, going to be most, I'm not going to say upset, but who's going to be most bothered by this? Because I know they tried to put Anticipate also off global cooldown, but that was something that was rolled back in, I think, the last beta build.
Yes, and that would have annoyed me. I used Anticipate and Freedom for Adrenaline all the time. Yeah. So I'm glad they took that one away. But to answer your question, I'm not sure if people are going to be mad about it. I think once they figure out, like, oh, this can be used more conveniently, then they're going to get used to it and it'll be fine.
Yeah. And also on the same global cooldown path, they made it so that action bar slots that have no relation to global cooldown will no longer display it unnecessarily. So your teleports and your, you know, utility spells, I guess. Like, if you wanted to place one of those prisms, you can do that now outside of global cooldown, and then, you know, it's not on global cooldown. You can just, you know, fire it off right away. And I just think that's good general housekeeping for where we're at, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think of the action bar changes in terms of the presentation, in terms of the cooldown and the modifier key displays?
I don't mind them. Some of the people who don't like change are getting mad over it. I think it looks simpler. I think it's much easier to follow people's rotation too, now that it flashes when you click that keybind.
Yeah, that is something just that I was thinking of in terms of making the game readable. And, you know, in many ways you can see that, oh, something's on cooldown. It's kind of, you know, if it's a big cooldown, it's darkened a bit, and you got the number right in the middle. But I actually moved the numbers to the top right just because it was interfering with me seeing what the icon was, and I had just redone action bars, so I kind of needed to see what the picture was behind the number. So I moved that to the top right. So that is an option if anybody doesn't like it in the middle. I just wanted to point that out. So
yeah, I kept mine in the middle. I think that's where it was before.
Yeah, middle is default now.
I'm used to it. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, then the other big thing was the channeling bar that we kind of touched on a little bit.
With rapid fire.
Yeah. Again, mixed reviews from the people I talked to. I personally like it. I've never been good when it comes to rhythm or having a time, like being able to get it right on tick where I want to do whatever I want to do. So this has helped a lot.
And
get that.
I see it. I can definitely see the mixed reviews because, you know, it's a new UI element. You're going to, you know, move it around and whatnot. You have yours, you know, right above your buffs and debuffs. And, you know, I think if you were really going to do this in a different way, what you would do is you just take a step back and reconsider the entire design language of the action bar and the icons around it. But obviously, you know, this was a beta that started with improving the mechanics of combat and not necessarily a UI update and the whole shebang. So that's kind of out of the scope of it. But what I would have liked to have seen for the channels as another option to this is just add like a white border around the ability when it's firing off, then show the countdown in the middle. So you fire off rapid fire, for example, and then it would just show a white border around the rapid fire icon, and then the number in the middle could be a different color than the white, and that would show how much time you got channeling rapid fire, and then after that goes on cooldown like you expect it to. That would have been my preferred way of doing it. But like I said, the beta wasn't about UI stuff. Because I think that's probably the biggest problem here is that, and you see this if you watch streamers, if you watch any of the RS3 streamers, you'll see that a few of them have things that are, you know, in effect telegraphing what buttons they push, what buffs are active and whatnot. And to me, that tells me that there's an issue with the game inherently, that it's not easy to tell what's up or what a person is doing just by looking at the action bar.
Yes.
And I feel like that's an opportunity for further refinement in the future. But, you know, this is RuneScape, and we know that the UI has always been, in many places, something that needs a bit of work around the edges. It's gotten better over the years, but there's always room to improve on that. So,
yeah, I mean, a lot of times I'll see people streaming in Discord, and just like it just blows my mind, though, like just how different people have their UI set up. I mean, I remember I had someone who had their inventory in the bottom left corner, and that just like blew my mind. It's like, well, that's even possible.
They're probably
like,
from another MMO where they do it that way.
I knew instantly that they didn't play RuneScape back in 2007 when you couldn't customize it as much.
Like, yeah,
it's always in the bottom right corner. So that was always funny. I think what would have made a lot of people happy with the Tamlin bar to go back to that is just the option. I thought they were going to put this in, the option to remove it.
Oh, okay.
Cause I think that just would have been a simple way of just like, oh, you don't like it? Okay, take it away. Like, but
yeah, that would have been interesting to see.
I would have been curious to see how many people kept it on, how many people turned it off.
Yeah. And, you know, there has always been a desire in our group to do a monthly bit, one of our bonus shows, on redesigning the RuneScape UI. But I sat down briefly for maybe 15, 20 minutes once with Sirion, and we talked about this. And we said, you know, if we do this, we're going to be here doing this project for 3 months before we get to something we can present on air. And at that point, you know, we're not gonna do that, because at that point we'd be creating a whole concept for the UI, which is not our problem to fix. So maybe we need to take a more granular approach to it and say, you know, if we were to redesign RuneScape's action bar, buff bar, and combat experience, what would that look like? Because I feel like there's some things that we're seeing this week that we could definitely pull threads on. But I'm going to take this opportunity to thank Patreon supporters, because I teased a potential monthly bit topic, not one that's going to happen at any point in the future. But this week, I'd like to thank Alaska, Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Anatoly D., Andrew C., Arvidzel, Chubura, Daniel W., Dominic R., Drama Free, Dura Max, Free Milk, G. Hammy, Guy Lafleur, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Jim M., Keski, Killer Snowball, Lemon Lodge, Ling01, Luminos, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Sky, Targayin, Thule, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. I'd like to thank all those people for their support on Patreon. And yes, that is a longer list, because it is the first week of the month, and people who do subscribe at the $3 tier do get a shout out on the first episode of the month. But I mentioned monthly bits, and those are our monthly bonus shows that we do. We have an entire catalog of them available at patreon.com/rsbnb, and you can support the podcast there if you so choose to. You get, for as little as $1 a month, that entire catalog of bonus shows. You get the ability to vote on our monthly bit topics. You get the ability to come to the roundtable, and you also get a mention in the show notes, in addition to helping fund the cost for hosting and production for Update. We also have the VIP tier, where for $3 a month, you will get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, high-quality stereo versions of the show, Discord chat channel access, a rank on Discord. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. So big, big, huge thank you goes out to everybody out there, everybody who supports us on Patreon, from our regular contributors who enjoy the monthly bits all the way up to experience who make RSBNB Update go. Thank you so much, everybody. And we're working on the March monthly bit. We were going to record that last week, but Thaxi was a little bit under the weather, so expect that to be about a week later than was anticipated. The topic you guys chose, of course, was the introduction to PVM, which, given this week, perfectly good topic to be talking about. So thanks so much, everyone. All right. I had to take kind of a left turn there to talk about that. And, you know, when it comes down to it at the end of the day, are you happy with what we got here? Are there any other combat bossing things you want to talk about from your experiences this week before we start summing and wrapping this up?
No, I think we've touched on everything I'd want to talk about.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot to dive into with this. And I feel like if we can kind of summarize this at the end of the day, it's about giving the necromancy treatment to the other three combat styles to make it feel as though they're actually, you know, worth using and comfortable. So we do have a couple listener questions that I did want to dive into for this. The first one from Bladecom, who asked, the beta took around 4 months to come to live. How long do you believe it'll be before they collect the data on this and maybe do another beta to further streamline combat? Does it need further streamlining, or are we just looking for what the next beta is going to be?
I don't know. I'm curious to hear their feedback on the whole, how the whole beta went. Because I know in the past they weren't always thrilled to include player feedback. So that's why it kind of made this beta such a big deal, was they're letting us play, taking our feedback seriously, and implementing kind of our suggestions. So if they think it went well, I wouldn't be shocked to see more betas in the future. I'm not sure how much of that will be combat related. I think combat's in a pretty good spot right now. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like if there's going to be another beta from this, is you really jump off the edge with that one. And you start doing the things that are really going to push the boundaries and maybe start experimenting with things that are a little bit more weird, like finding a way to make the necromancy auto attack feature work in all the other combat styles like they tried to do with melee. That might be something. And if we want to go really off the walls, do what some people were saying of combining the attack and strength skills. I know some people would be upset about that, you know, losing, 200 mil or 120 out of that, but it's the only one that does that. And, you know, should they be combined, right? And I also feel like there could be more differentiation between the attack and strength abilities. Because I don't know about you, but do they feel like carbon copies of each other? Just slightly different?
More so now, right? Like, there was a time that had a purpose, but as things are getting the necromancy treatment, and even before, as you guys have pointed out tonight, the purpose of attack isn't what it once was.
Yeah, it should have just been to, you know, increase accuracy. And, you know, if I was going to add my own differentiation to these, the attack abilities would, in my view, be focused around more accurate, fast kind of strikes, right? Whereas you could really lean into the strength side if you wanted to keep them distinct and say maybe those ones, you know, could hit harder, right? But have a lower DPS. And I don't know if anybody would want that, but it's something that's interesting to think about with that. So where would you go? Where would you go from here, Bears, on that?
Well, I just want to point out, if you said you spent 45 minutes with a new range action bar,
yeah,
imagine how long it'd take for a melee one when you have double the abilities.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, it wasn't all ranged action bar. It was also, you know, just reorganizing things and working within the system to try and find a way to make them, you know, sure, kind of both work together on that. But the point stands is that, like, I feel like the attack and strength abilities is, it's like, okay, what's the difference between these two, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how recently you've made a melee bar, but it is not fun looking at the wiki or wherever you're getting your bar from, and like, okay, that ability is in strength. Nope, next one's in attack. Nope, next one's in strength, and you just have to keep flipping back and forth between them.
Yeah, they feel weird is the way I would put that. And you know, I suspect that there's probably been a lot of inertia that prevented those sorts of changes from happening, if I had to guess. And if anything, I feel like the next beta would be the place where they would and probably should take those kinds of risks.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because it's felt very okay, let's just raise the damage numbers up to compete with necromancy, and then let's fine-tune a bit and adjust some quality of life things around the edges. I feel like that would be the best way of summarizing this, whereas I think the next beta they do after this needs to be about doing things that are more risky. So, the next question was from Drama Free. I apparently in the past, and I believe I said this, mentioned that this combat was as big as the original EOC update. So, with the update live, do you still feel that way? Why or why not? And I think I do agree with myself in the past where I said that this is the evolution of the evolution of combat in many ways, I think. And you look at this and you say, if we were going to do another EOC today, how would you do that without, you know, the community upheaval that we had the first time round, right? And in many ways, I think Necromancy was the beta test for that, with the biggest things that were out there. Hit cap, crit chance, and in general, bringing in quality of life related things, not only in terms of how the tooltips are presented, but allowing the systems to be changed more granularly than they were in the past. Because we didn't mention that yet this episode, but a lot of the work that went on under the hood, specifically for the melee abilities, was rewriting them so that they could be easily adjusted in the future if they needed to be, which I don't think a lot of people were aware of on that. And,
well,
go ahead, Tanis.
I was just going to say, like, not that we buried the lead here, but I think there was another important factor that had to happen first before any of these things could even be in a beta. Like, before they would even be accepted to even go into a beta.
Get the idea out there that it's okay with necromancy? Get people used to hitting high numbers?
Even prior to necromancy, you had to fix the death cost first. If there was too much money on the line, they would never be able to make certain changes. Because people have it ingrained.
What changes in particular are you thinking of?
Well, really any changes, but even just the way that they made every, you know, just the way that they made accuracy and damage work. Like, these are all good changes, but had they not fixed the death cost, the appetite for change would not have been there.
Yeah, and you know, we have the Falk event going on right now, which is actually probably a good time to move into this after this question. Actually, no, I want to sum up the final thoughts on this first. But the Falk event is going on right now. And, you know, that's the best time to learn a new boss, in my opinion, is the Falk event. Because you get free overloads, you get free deaths back to your nearest hub, you get free aura resets, you can choose your own Reaper points. Or your own Reaper task to get, you know, print Reaper points and whatnot. And it's a good time to learn a boss. And I think you're right that if you remove the barrier, perceived barrier, I'll say, to PVM with that, because really it was only the really truly extravagant death costs out there were those melee builds we talked about, you know, with five switches with multiple items worth, you know, 2.1 bill plus. And if you fix that, you start, you know, seeing a different perspective on what PVM is. So I think if we were to say, you know, what is EOC 2.0, I think you package together the death cost changes, you package together the biggest things from this update, including the changes to hit cap, the changes to critical chance, the quality of life changes, and just bringing damage values up. And then if you release necromancy alongside that, that would be enough, in my view, to call an expansion the Evolution of Combat, had that term not been cursed, you know, back in 2012. But, you know, this game doesn't do expansions, the players don't like expansions, so we won't talk about that. But, Bears, what do you think?
So, I was going to disagree with you if you had just said the update that came out on Monday was as big as the Evolution of Combat.
No, I think you got to package it all together. I disagree with you. Yeah.
Once you brought in the Necromancy and Death Cost, I agree. I think Necromancy is as, and I don't know how you'll feel about this, but Necromancy is the closest like thing to EOC to make players stop playing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, like, just look at the number of people of high level PVMers who exited after it because they were upset that their gear from Magic Ranged Melee was devalued or things became too easy. Just look at those numbers and you'll see that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've seen a couple friends who haven't been online in a couple months log in this week and they've played consistently for this week. So this helps bring some of those players back. Yeah, I mean, if you package those three updates, Mondays, Death Cost, and Necromancy, yes, I would almost even argue it's bigger than EOC.
Yeah, and it was done without, you know, splitting the community, and I feel like there was a beta process that was actually followed in earnest this time, in that you had to have the gear to go on the beta and do it. You couldn't just, you know, go to a vending machine and, you know, get best in slot and say something didn't feel right, or it was good when it, you know, in reality wasn't.
Well, and people, I think, took it a lot more seriously.
Yeah, because you have to have, you know, the buy-in. Right. And, you know, some people might not like that. And, you know, the one thing I think the beta could have done better is that if they would have just had a machine that could, you know, print whatever gizmos you want. Right. Because let's be honest, it's a real pain to go in and decide that you are going to, you know, perk up some gear for, you know, the beta because you don't have magic going in and you, you know, want to, you know, perk that up and test that and see if that's going to be a viable combat style going forward. So you got to invest in that before. So that's just a little example of kind of what I was talking about there, about how having that sort of thing could alter the perspective. So they really executed this beta with people who had the skin in the game, so to speak. So, but, you know, overall, I feel like it was a beta that was well done. And we do kind of need to know about where this leaves things at the end of the day. And if we were to kind of, you know, just take a step back and look at what we have right now, some parting questions here on our end to, you know, really answer a big question at the end of the day that we should be able to answer at the end of this is, you know, how mature is the RuneScape combat system after these updates? As in, did the changes come this week make fundamental changes to how combat works, or were they just polish around the edges? And, you know, Bears, you've been interacting with the legacy styles a lot this week. I just interact with range. So how do you feel on that one? In that, is it like fundamental core changes to the identity of these styles and how they play, or was it just really polish around the edges and bringing them up a bit?
I would say in between that. I think you could argue that it was a fundamental change to change how critical strikes work, to change the damage cap. You know, those big ones that we highlighted not only in today's episode, but the last time I was on with the beta, like those are big changes. But then they also did some of the polishing where they, you know, adjusted some of the damage rates for some of the abilities. They went through and changed a ton of the special attacks. I mean, one special attack that has been used a lot this week, which was Ivan Staff. When was the last time you thought about Ivan Staff?
I was actually looking at the patch notes and was wondering if that was gonna, you know, be a new option for cheap magic specs going forward. How is it doing?
So it's good in scenarios where you're dumping adrenaline.
Okay.
So, like I said, I've been doing a ton of Zamorak this week, and a guy on team's been using Mage, and he's been using it whenever the pad gives you full adrenaline because it hits, you know, 18 to 25K. So when you have all that free adrenaline, it's pretty good. It's a little bit too much adrenaline for how much damage it's dealing, but when you have excess amount, it's fine.
Yeah, it's like a nice aha number, I guess you could say.
Yep.
To just do that with. And see, that's the thing, is that, you know, we're not necessarily changing the identities of Magic Melee and ranged with this, right? I feel like if we're going to do an identity change, probably the one that needs to be looked at the most is Melee, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, you're in effect, have, and I'm going to just say this here right now, you have Necromancy, that is your combat style, that is designed to be low input, easy to use. You have your ranged, which is designed to be high hitting and heavy damage, but you need more input than Necromancy. You have Magic if you want to build around crits. You have Melee if you want to build around bleeds and high hits, but boy, you're going to need tons of micro for that. So that's kind of like the spectrum that you have to play with here. So it's not that they were huge fundamental changes. They were just bringing the damage numbers up and giving the necromancy treatment to these. And if we look at the answer to that question, we can then say, well, if we rate this, you know, on a scale between 0 and 100, between 0 being broken and 100 being well-designed and consistent, where are we at today and where did we move from? So let's start with ranged here. Ranged before? Probably, you know, wasn't really used much by many people, so what would that probably have been at? Somewhere in like the 30 to 40 range, maybe?
I'd say 40s.
Yeah, 40s, okay. And then on this end today, probably 85 plus, I'd say, given that it functions in a consistent way. And would you say then, with this, and maybe this answers the question, is range the most like necromancy in that regard then?
Damage-wise, yes.
But input-wise, definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay. So where would you rate ranged at where we're at right now, then? In terms of just how it feels with, you know, its consistency, let's just say.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it in the 80s. In my mind, and obviously I know people don't always agree, but I like the idea of being rewarded for the more inputs and actions you put in. So to me, that feels right.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Magic, I feel like that was probably in what before? The 50 to 60 range, maybe? In terms of, yeah, you know, not being 100% broken, but not being 100% consistent, especially when you factor in things like, you know, four ticking and the like. So 50 to 60-ish, and maybe it's in the 60s now, I'd say. You know, not much change, as we said there.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah. And the only one you're going to really have to help me with a lot here is Melee, because it feels like it was, you know, this weird basket case before, and it still feels like it is to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would say it was probably in the, I don't want to go as low as the teens, but almost. So low 20s.
Right.
And it definitely got better, and it's definitely better designed, and it's more consistent now. But I wouldn't want to put it as high as Magic for... Oh, like Magic for being consistent and being well designed. I think Magic is better designed, but Melee just does more damage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And by consistent, I'd say in that it, you know, in effect functions the same way as the other styles would, if that makes sense. Not necessarily consistent, okay, in terms of damage numbers.
Yeah, so then, yeah, it's definitely lower than Magic, where it just doesn't feel as well designed still.
Yeah, so still kind of clunky
more damage.
With it then. So it would probably be fair to say then that with this, the biggest thing, as we said, that was there for melee was the hit cap. And, you know, I'm just imagining this in a case then where melee takes ranged old slot at the bottom end, and then everything just kind of got shifted up a bit, I guess would be the best way of looking at this.
Yeah. So,
and, you know, with this, you kind of, I guess, see that the necromancy treatment was what we needed all along, and maybe that's the best thing to come out of necromancy at the end of the day, is this maturing of the RuneScape combat system, is how I'd put it. And the thing I'm wondering, I think, coming out of this is that, like, I've never been a Magic user at the high end here. And I, when the beta was announced, I bought a set of Virtus armor. Do you think I should sell that again?
Do you have Tectonic or Elite Tectonic or just Cripplim?
I don't have any Magic tank armor. The only tank armor I have is the Ports one, Z-Singer.
Okay. So is that your best armor then?
That would be my best Magic armor, yeah.
Yeah, I would keep it. I'm never...
I mean, I guess it's always good to have you know, just a basic tier 80 power armor set, because tank armor, I really don't like that much, I guess. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what the unfortunate thing is, though, about that? Is that I have a Biting 4 on there. When in reality, it could have been a Biting 2. So I'll have to level that up to probably 15 and get an equipment separator or something on that at some point. Because that could probably do better on a range set now that I think about it. But
yeah, definitely.
Then we're heading into the realm of my dislike for invention, which I've detailed on the podcast before. And perks. All right. Also this week, we have some changes to the Oddments store. In particular, that the bulk of the store has been hollowed out, and there's now two tabs, a consumables tab and a cosmetics tab. The first row is going to be the consistent tab each and every day, and the bottom tab will rotate each and every week. So this is an update to the store that, I mean, people were asking for an update to the Oddments store. I don't know if this is the update that people wanted, Tannis.
No, I don't think this one was it. I was real concerned when I saw it had rotating stock, but I was concerned that you wouldn't be able to get to stars when you wanted. But
that they might kind of, in effect, limit the amount you could have.
Right, and so, like, I'm glad to see that at least that row is there. Because that's what people are... I still say that's what people are buying. The rotating stock, I mean, we'll see. The only thing I can think of is, like, was the portable? No, that's a whole different. Never mind.
Well, in today's rotating consumable stock, you can buy 60 small protean packs for 500 oddments each.
Okay.
So for 30,000 oddments, you get 60 small protean packs, which really isn't that great.
No.
You can get 25 tight springs or 25 silverhawk down for 200 oddments. And those are, there's no limit on those. And as it happens in the cosmetics tab, they're rotating through, former Yak Track items now. So I guess there goes that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's how we're getting old Yak Track items is in the store here. So. Once again, the update is here, and and people wanted an update to the Oddments store, but I don't think it's the update people wanted.
No, it doesn't I don't know. I just don't. There's nothing that exciting to me. And oddments have just taken such a hit.
Yeah, I mean, like, first they nerf the amount you get, then they nerf the amount you get for converting, and now they nerf the store.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I wonder if there's, like, a larger larger strategy at play here, or if that's it. But I have my eye on some Treasure Hunter items. The Academy of Heroes promotion is back. On March 7th and 8th, you get the Echo of Zamorak and Chaotic Overrides. On the 9th and 10th is the Echo of the Archglacier and Azure Overrides, so if you like blue. And then on the March 11th and 12th, you have the Echo of Krosis and new Fungal Overrides, including a brand new Fungal Death Swiftness Override, which I want when that one comes out, because that's a green Death Swiftness.
Green?
Yep.
It looks really nice. I want it too.
I wonder what the prices are going to be, because, you know, if we look at the Chaotic Swiftness ability right now here, it's a 0.022% drop chance from a purple gem. So, very, very stupidly rare. I'm going to say what I always say with gambling at this point. And that's that if you want these, your best bet, I think, is to buy them off the exchange. And if you don't have the money to buy them off the exchange and you're not morally opposed to it and you have the money to spend, rather than spending on Treasure Hunter keys, I think your best bet is to buy bonds for GP and buy them off the Grand Exchange that way.
That's what I would do if I had any interest in it.
Because you don't want to play the Treasure Hunter game when you're dealing with, you know, 0.02% drop chats.
Oh, yeah, hell no.
So, yeah. But I think I might already have the red Death Swiftness one. I was thinking I'd like to get the blue one, but I think I definitely want the green one now on this. So I think I'm probably going to go for that when that one's up. Are you going to go for it too, Bears?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's hope it's not too expensive on those days when it drops and there's enough people playing the market that we're actually able to get them for a reasonable price on the exchange, so we don't need to resort to gambling.
I have the Grand Exchange open right now, the Chaotic Swiftness, so that's the one that you could get today, right?
Yes.
It is almost 800 mil. But then the Azure Swiftness, which is the blue one that we can get in a couple days, is only 30 mil. So I'm not sure how that's such a price difference.
I feel like the Azure one was dropped probably at Christmas or something. In the non-tradable ones, so people have those, so it kind of devalued.
Gotcha.
I'd say. Kind of like what happened with Sol and Aurora Dye, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah, that would be my sense on that. So, I know it's not a different Treasure Hunter promo, but I feel like when Fashionscape calls and it's something I'm interested in, we kind of have to talk about it on the podcast. So, but alrighty, well that. Pretty much brings us to the end of the RuneScape portion of the podcast this week, talking about combat. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and let us know how combat has been going for you guys this week, because it's something that we're definitely going to follow going forward. But with that, let's move on to our achievements. Bears, you want to start us off?
Yeah, started off with... I got 200 mil myself in farming on the 6th.
Ooh. Oh, congratulations. We need to get you into the system somehow.
Yeah, I've tried a couple times and I gave up. I don't know. I'm not smart enough for it, I guess. But I hit 5.2 billion XP with that too. So we're inching closer to that 5.8 mark. But now for the listeners, we got... Eric's hitting 120 necromancy on the 6th. Medge Quest hitting 99 rune crafting on the 6th. Dr. Rowe 99 slayer on the 4th. Samurai Jack 120 hunter on the 4th. And Giovannig 99 necromancy on the 3rd. Congrats.
Nicely done. We also have Keski Rocks with 120 Invention on the third. Luminos with 120 Slayer also on the third. RR Man and Zed got 99 Necromancy. Mesh Quest on the second with 99 Fishing, as well as Queen RuPaul with 120 Invention. And then Lord Dusty got 120 Necromancy on March 1st.
Nice. And then also on the 1st, we have Sparty Pants with 120 Cooking, Fire Making, and Crafting. So nice triple there. Then we had Duke Juker with 120 Prayer on the 29th. And Saxor Love with 99 Archaeology on the 29th.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done. And, you know, when you look at this, you look at this achievement, we're still kind of catching the waves, I think, after DXP on that. So big congratulations out there to everybody for all the gains you've been getting since then. But all right, pick of the week time. You guys ready for a fun game?
I'm ready.
You guys ready to spread some democracy and liberty throughout the galaxy?
Hell yeah, for Toby. Do it for Toby.
That's the pick of the week. Helldivers 2. You might have heard of it before. It's a sequel to Helldivers 1. The first one was a top-down shooter. This one is a third-person shooter, and the idea behind it is that it follows the first game, and on this one, what's happened is that the humans have colonized the galaxy, and now the bugs are fighting back, as well as a new race of cybernetic beings as well. And your goal is to, of course, spread managed democracy and liberty to the people who have fought back. And it's a very satirical game. And, you know, you look at this and you could, you know, see, you know, any kind of imperialistic power here on Earth. And it's very satirical enough that it doesn't point to one or another in particular. But it's got some interesting gameplay mechanics about it. It's a co-op PvE game. You play it with up to four people. It has matchmaking. There's no PvP associated with it. And the entire idea behind it is that you get sent down to a planet and you complete missions on that planet. It might be something as simple as killing a bunch of targets. It might be something like retrieving a hard drive and launching an ICBM. Or maybe something a little bit more involved of going to a series of control points and capturing them and then retreating back to your extraction point. And the gameplay progression sees you progress through a number of levels. You got a whole suite of upgrades you can buy. And, you know, if you've ever wanted to have a game that allows you to commit war crimes, this is a game for you, because it's got things like landmines, it's got poison gas, it's got napalm, it's got all the things that good democracies use when they want to, you know, push for regime change and spread democracy and liberty throughout the galaxy. So if that's your sort of thing, if you've always, you know, wanted to lean into, dare I say it, a caricature of American foreign policy of the 20th century, this is the game for you.
But they're bugs.
Exactly. That's why I said there's no specific country they could be talking about here with this.
No, of
course. It is a game that is published by Arrowhead Game Studios. It's available on PC and PlayStation, because it's a PlayStation exclusive, and it's not actually available on the Xbox. So that's interesting, because normally you would see it available on all platforms in this day and age. But it's definitely been one of the games that has been played a ton recently on Steam. It's got great graphics. It's got a great soundtrack. And when it comes to some of the ballistics-based mechanics on this, they actually looked at how ballistics work in the real world when modeling things like armor, frag explosions, missile strikes, and so on. So it's got that going for it as well. So that's Helldivers 2. You can find it on Steam. And that's the pick of the week. If anybody's playing that, let me know, because I'd be interested to see if you guys enjoy it. But enjoy. All right. What have we been up to on RS? Let's start with you, Tennis.
Enjoying some of these buffs, namely the buff that you get a free VIP Slayer ticket, so everything is a choice. Love having choice when I'm doing my task. So yeah. And that's mainly what I was doing is just kind of, you know, dicking around with combat a little bit, see how everything was, kind of testing it out, checking it out.
All right, fair enough. How about you, Bears? I know we talked about combat a lot, but anything else in particular you'd like to report?
No, not too much. Just a little farming XP that I got and combat. It's really been all I've been doing.
That's nice. That's good. And, you know, I think the thing that we kind of want to write home with, you know, about this is that you're going to benefit from this combat update no matter what level you're at or, you know, what you're doing. So I definitely felt that this week with my few trips to Karapak and whatnot, and of course to Raziel, which is where I went to kind of get a sense of, you know, just in general the systems associated with it. And I use necromancy there, of course, as you must. And I'm pushing 900 kills, and I'm still two items short of the log. So I'm trying to honestly not think about the log at this point, because I remember your story about you went 6 times the rate for Solak. So I'm just trying not to think about that right now. But I'm definitely going to be leaning into the combat stuff this weekend. And you know, the one thing that our discussions this week and this update has is it's really got me thinking that it's time to get back involved with ranged a bit. Because I've been necromancy since it launched, and I don't know about you. How difficult do you find it to move to different styles back and forth?
Depends how long it's been. If I use mage, I use it enough that I'm still fine. But there's a reason I'm reluctant to use melee. It's just it's been so long since I've used it at a boss that needs high damage that it scares me. I mean, I still have my ZGS perked as well as it can be, and I was using it last time I used melee, so yeah.
Yeah, and like I mentioned, I also spent the better part of an hour working on an action bar and, you know, just in general making sure everything that was there that I wanted for that. And the thing that I ran into the most was that I'd like to have more than one action bar that would set up and change when I change combat styles, but you can really only have the action bar binding thing change one action bar and the rest are kind of static.
You can have it change secondary ones.
Yeah, but you can't change a secondary one and the main one at the same time.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, you're going to have to walk me through how to do that after the fact, because I wasn't able to get that to work.
Yeah, so, I can help.
Yeah. Okay, that actually helps a bit, but we'll report back on that next week on the podcast, because as you can see, I was having trouble managing the in-game action bar stuff. But I don't think there's anything else left to say on the show. I do have a bit of a PSA for folks running on iOS. You know, we always say at this time of the podcast, you want the podcast delivered to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. And, you know, that's true. Very true. But this week, iOS 17.4 came out. And if you go to your favorite podcast, like RSBNB Update, guess what? We now have transcripts for the podcast.
Oh, looky there.
So I'm just looking at the transcript from last week's episode, and it is alarmingly accurate. It says, this week on RSBNB Update, we poke our heads into the most recent game jam, where we look at Spongetui's potential cooking updates, herb sprite changes, and progress on the Damenheim Archaeology dig site. Also, RuneFest is on the way, and we share our first thoughts. This is RSBNB Update 975, recorded Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Jelly Jam and RuneFest. it's got all the spelling and everything right, believe it or not, except for some of the names. So I had to point this out because if you're an iOS user, you should definitely check this out because it will show you the transcript as you're playing through the episode, and it also makes our episodes now searchable, which has been the holy grail of podcasting for years, and it was a very expensive and very difficult thing to do, and now iOS just does that straight out of the box. So I just wanted to give that a highlight to show how big that is. So if you listen to Update and you want the podcast delivered automatically to you, subscribe, which you can, of course, do on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe for more and to choose your favorite podcast listener, which this week might be Apple Podcasts, depending on where you're at. But, of course, we also do have the show on YouTube as well at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the video versions. And, of course, if you like what you hear, you just like the show, do like and subscribe. Greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.